to order on Monday, January 28th at approximately 5:33 p.m. Before you, you have the agenda for tonight's meeting. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second? A motion by Mr. Cusick, second by Mr. Hales. Are there any changes to the agenda tonight? I do want to note that we do have a typographical error. Hopefully Gerald noticed that we changed his first name to John. So we will change that at some point in time. Hearing no discussion of the agenda tonight, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, I was asked to place on your agenda an item that would allow us to provide you with an update on our policing strategy as well as crime statistics. And I believe that we give both a broad, but we also drill down on the third ward in this presentation. So with that said, I will turn things over to Chief Hampton.
Good evening. Sorry, I'm running a little bit behind. This is not going to take too long. This has been directed strictly for crime statistics and a little bit of technology as to what we're doing to reduce these crimes. Still with the same structure that I've put in place within the last year. Still have three bureaus with bureaus of service, Bureau of Field Operations, Bureau of Investigation. So focusing on the communications part, focusing on the patrolling part, and then focusing on the investigation part. Excuse me. Geographic regions. This is broken down in very different ways. A lot of the council members like to call the wards. We go by regions as well, but we, as in the police department, go by districts, and that's broken down within our codices as well. This is color-coded by our crime analyst, Danella Lane. She does a very good job of that. Calls for service for University City. Just for 2018, all total, there were 77,323 calls. Like I say, these are calls, whether it's for investigation, whether it's for court outings, or whether it's for a 911 call. You see the difference in the 911 calls of 22,105. That is housed in St. Louis County. That currently houses all of the 911 calls, the emergency calls for any jurisdiction within St. Louis County Venture. And the 55,000 that comes from our non-emergency calls here in University City. So adding those totals gets us the 77,000. You see it's up from last year, approximately 2,000 to 3,000. It goes up pretty much every year. Now what goes on with the 911 calls, I can tell you with the upgrading of the 911 system, it's going to probably be more 911 emergency calls. And that's by way of texting, emailing, the electronic capabilities that the NG 911 will uphold and go into. Okay. And please stop me anytime if you have questions. I will have questions at the end as well, but anytime you feel free. These are parking tickets and moving tickets. Let me give you a broad total. The totals are up top. All parking issued this year, we're talking 7,700, approximately 7,800 tickets. You're talking moving violations, you're talking 4,500. And FERS are called field interview reports. Those are the times that we stop and we document when we're stopping someone, and a report is probably not taken, but this is a report that we put on file to say why we stopped, why we had the reasonable suspicion, why we had the probable cause, whatever the case is. It could have been probable cause at the time, but then it dissipates once we investigate what's going on. If you check the current 2018 Part 1 stats are the most serious crimes, the robberies, the assaults, the rapes, the homicides, the burglaries, the larcenies, all of such. And let's see, aggravated assault, burglary, larceny, motor vehicle thefts, arsons. We're down 10%, almost 11% overall in the entire city. Last year, we were down 14%. So crime stats are making a good turn, and I think we're doing some good efforts with our decentralized attack on these areas. that we know crimes can happen, that we know crimes can potentially be an opportunity, and that's why we utilize these stats quite a bit. And the difference in the change of everything you'll see, breaking it out. Let me do say one stat that I want to mention. The homicide stat up in 2018, you see the number of one. Now, there was another killing, and that killing was a justifiable homicide, meaning that we cannot count that per DOJ stat as being a homicide. If a person was to be charged, if we had capabilities of charging someone for that shooting, then that would have been another homicide. So right now it is still one. It was one for 2018. Okay. This is just another three-year trend of the Part 1 crimes. It just breaks it down. The largest jump that we got to see this year was, I believe, with the burglaries and the robberies, the largest decrease of all the crimes of the Part 1s that we have to report. I've been asked a question about Part 2 crimes. Part 2 crimes are really infractions. They're like runaways. There's like curfew violations. They're pretty much city level issues that may not be prosecuted whatsoever. So no, we do not track that on a regular basis. However, coming in 2021, you'll see a difference in crime stat collecting, which is called NIBRS and MIBRS for Missouri. NIBRS is the national database. But those type of incidents will get collected and counted as well. It's going to be a more tedious process. I might even have to put in for an increase with the maybe an assistant for that crime analyst portion of it because of the details that will have to go along with each individual infraction or incident that's being reported. You have to report why it's not being. Yes, sir.
Chief, where are drug-related crimes? Possession or selling, is that here at all or no?
Yeah, drug-related crimes are the they can be a Part 1 crime. It depends on if it's being picked up by a state or felony, by the state or the federal level. Now, it's not one of the Part 1 crimes that they take in a database. However, usually a Part 1 crime that would coexist with drugs or guns, the aggravated assaults, or what have you. But so the actual drugs themselves, just being in possession, is not the crime. The being, I guess, to the point where you're trying to distribute conspiracies, that could up the crimes up. But as far as that, I don't have that number on this particular Part 1 crime because that's not part of the database that the DOJ collects on that aspect. Okay. Yes, sir.
Well, you know what, Chief Hammond, I'll let you go through. I'm going to come back to that point about drugs and some of the activity, but I'll let you get through the presentation.
Okay. This is broken down, the regional breakdown of 2018 Part 1 stats. This is through the Southeast region, Northeast region. And the districts you may not understand or know, those are, like I say, the police districts that are on our side. The Southeast region we know is the most active region of all our Part 1 crimes, and thus is the area that we're talking about near the Delmore Loop area. Now, what makes up that Southeast region with the grand total, you see the larcenies is a large part of that, whether that's Dine and Dash, whether that's stealing from cash register, tip drawer, depending on the severity of the amount that is stolen. Same thing with the Northeast, the North Central, and the Northwest. Those are mostly Ward 3 areas. Those are the areas that are pretty much north of Olive, for the most. And to understand the aspect of what we have going on over there is the larcenies, of course, the burglaries. And you'll see the range in those two areas are pretty much the top in whether that's robbery, larceny, or burglary themselves. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So I have a couple of questions. Can you define for us larceny? The first one, I get burglary, but not quite larceny. And the second question is, I'm looking at the southeast section, and I noticed that the documented rapes are there. And so my question is, are we actually tracking what's happening to WashU students and our residents, or just even visitors, or is that being, I've heard rumors that that's being handled by them and kind of hushed up.
No, but it depends. We have a very small section of Washington University, as it tolls. Now, most of the rapes that get reported to WashU are they're probably reported on their on-campus basis, which is outside of University City. The rapes that we have here, most of these are pretty much date rapes. These are suspect known to the victim. So we have. So you're talking. I can think of several incidents just in the last year where there you're talking boyfriend, girlfriend, ex boyfriend, ex girlfriend, what have you. Some did entertain with the fact that they could have been students or were students. Not all were Washington University students of that. Even for the Southeast region, I can recall one student being from a Fontbonne area.
Okay, so when the crime happens here in University City, it is reported to our police, and even if it gets reported to the campus police, it still gets reported to our police?
Oh, yeah, yes, ma'am. And what happens is if the campus police is contacted first, then it's a courtesy call. It's a courtesy notification. They notify us before even dealing with the hospitals or what have you, so we can get a direct statement from the witnesses, victims, and if any potential suspects are already located or known as well. But yeah, we do report with them as well. We do a courtesy, letting them know if we're getting the first initial contact of the incident reported to us, then yes, we will share that information, and we do share that information on a quite a bit of basis. We actually attend it's called an intelligence meeting, where we attend with Washington University. That's once a month. But even before that hand, that myself and the chiefs and the commanders, we're very tight-knit that we can share that information.
Okay, great. And then quickly, a definition for larceny, and then I'll let you move on.
Larceny, you can... It's the theft of items that do not belong to you. For instance, if I'm a roommate of yours in an apartment and your class ring comes up stolen, you may initially try to report that as a burglary. If there's no documented entry that was forced or anything of sorts, then we would find out that could be a larceny. Now, depending on the dollar amount, gives you the breakdown of whether or not it's going to be a misdemeanor or a felony. And some larcenies can be felonies. I mean, the theft of, for instance, Schnucks, what do you call them? Schnucks employees that's dealing with the money, whether it's customer service or the front register, they could have had theft over amount of time frame that led over a felony amount. That could still be a larceny.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. If that is this is the third ward, part one crime stats. You'll see last year there was a total number of 763, and this year is down to 532. Like I said, there's a pretty significant drop. You can see the arch. This is dated back all the way back to 2009, almost a 10-year time frame, giving you a picture of where we're at today. Today, this is the lowest mark that has been on record within the last 10 years, and even before that, we just had to condense the graph, because last year I think I gave you a graph of back to 2000, and I can tell you even with 2000, these numbers still beat that as well. Bureau of Investigation, those are detectives or investigators. Over 581 cases assigned out. That's 250 of those are cleared. The inactive is usually where we're not giving up on a case, but it's at that time we do not have enough evidence to charge someone, and we have a clearance rate of 43% per cases. goes back to the centralized and decentralized statement that I said. Centralized attack is basically knowing that you have a crime problem in a certain area, and you just get that out to all of your troops, all of your officers, and all of your personnel, and we're all trying to attack the same way to decrease that crime problem. Decentralized attack is what we're taking into place right now with specialized units, K-9 units. We're up to our second K-9. You'll see that picture coming up. Drones to technology that we utilize, cameras. For instance, some of these cameras that we got car cameras going into the vehicles very shortly, probably within the next 20, the next there will be at least 25 vehicles equipped with the car cameras. These are adjustable cameras to where it still picks up audio even when you're outside of the car, and you can rotate and swivel the camera if need be to the house that you're going into or that you're entering into. So it's just a good example of how we're taking our approach to fighting the crime. Crime reduction and community policing methods with the collaboration of multi-jurisdictional task force. We have at least one task force member with St. Louis County with the drug force. That has been a definitely a good adventure for us because we're back into the intel of these criminals that go from jurisdiction to jurisdiction doing some of the same type of narcotics crime, vice crime, gun crime, gang warfare, what have you. The crime prevention through environmental design is SEPTED. We have several members of University City, now SEPTED trained, to give security audits. That is very key because that's the most up-date security audits that we can do for businesses and residentials alike, meaning that you're going to get the most crime prevented methods to help you in your adventures in opening up businesses here in University City or even improving existing structures and businesses that we have going. We have the community action team, we have special operations unit and the K-9 division. We also have traffic units. It's just a matter of keeping our staffing up and making sure that we can staff these units as opposed to just trying to pull from units that we need in the daily patrolling habits. Crime reduction, collaboration with the multi-jurisdictional. Of course, the county drug force, County Drug Task Force. There is another one that I did not put on here where I'm in active talks with a vice force. It's kind of like a strike force. So they're going out dealing with hot areas that we can team up, place members on that team, give them that information, whether we have, it could be juveniles that's stepping up their gang in the gang warfare as far as anywhere, but they're traveling over into University City on a habit. So all of these units is something that we utilize. Missouri Police Chief, SLAPCA, Mid-County Criminal Exchange Groups, City Carjacking Task Force. It used to be once a month. It's up to like twice a month now. Okay. Juvenile Diversion Program. Now, this is a pilot program that we have specifically here in University City. I met with the chief deputy officer over at the St. Louis County Family Courts, and this is a diversion program for those juveniles ages 8 up until 15 if they're not a documented routine criminal potential criminal is what I would try to say. And what I mean by that is, say you're just starting off shoplifting, say you're just starting off doing something, whether it's curfew, whether it's breaking curfew, skipping school, what have you. This is a diversion program where it's not placing any charges, any incidents that are staying on your record, anything. We're trying to get you more into the counseling and into the victim services that we have. And this is a team up of counselors from St. Louis County Family Court, along with some members from our police department that will be involved. Implementation of the community action team. This is all pretty much the same. It's called CAT team. I can give you an example of the CAT team hours. It's not routine hours. They're not doing Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So most of the time they're getting off at 3 or 5 o'clock in the morning. 3 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That ain't consist of right now with the limited amount of members we have, just Tuesday through Saturday. But I'd like to expand that unit to also cover Sundays and Mondays to make sure that we have that same type of shock coverage, because these members are able to address proactively anything that could be going on in any. It's called hotspot policing, and basically they're freed up from the routine calls, the 911 calls, the non-emergency calls, to where they can actively be out there making a difference on a regular basis. Same thing. This is Officer Brewer and K-9 Rhino doing a wonderful job for us. They're stepping up the game. Even Rhino is only maybe 3 years old now, or maybe younger than that, but he's in full action. I believe he's on duty now. Today's Monday. Tuesday through Saturday for him as well, but midnight shift. Now with our second K-9, K-9 King. He's named after Sergeant Mike King, passing away from the shooting years ago. Officer Casey is his handler. They're in training as we speak. I mean, literally 7 weeks of training, and we're trying to get them out, along with our recruits that we have at the police academy. We got 4 of those over there as well. But K-9 King is looked upon doing great things. He's only a year old. He's larger in stature already than K-9 Rhino, and very good nose dog that scents and tracking. Policing through environmental design. Excuse me. The SEPTED model, of course, is all about scanning and identifying the problem, analysis, studying the problem, identifying those possible solutions, response, implement a custom design response, assessment, of evaluate that action that we're taking. So not only are we assessing the problem, trying to attack the problem, but then we assess and analyze how we attacked it. Was it successful? What can we do differently? How can we improve on that? Policing with the technology, and this goes back to the in-car cameras. We have we have GPSs on all the vehicles as well, and I can tell you that does wonders for patrolling habits. It also does wonders for safety. Prior to the GPS system, if a officer was to forget a radio, turning a radio on when he got out of a car, you had no way of tracking him. You had to pretty much go. We had to physically go and track this officer by way of where was his last whereabouts, last known whereabouts. Where was his? Where did he last call out? Where did he or she? Where were they at? That we can track in that area, the area that we know that they're supposed to be in. But sometimes this area can cover 1.5 square miles. Sometimes. Gunshot detection technology. We have a pilot program that's going on, that's going to be going on, and I'm going to come to that slide shortly. This V5 is the company. It's a little different system than the one that catches all the media glory, I believe, the ShotSpotter, whatever. Because V5 is solar and Wi-Fi capabilities. So we're not tapping into anyone's electricity, and you're talking the capabilities of being portable at any given time, moving these locations. And I'll show you the locations that we're going to start with the pilot program so we can see if this is going to be something that we definitely want to invest in and definitely want to utilize. License plate readers. We have our first license plate reader in a vehicle right now. The V5 gunshot detection company has also has approached us with these license plate readers, and we'll be utilizing a pilot system that goes up on a pole for those as well. So these are technologies that we're using. This is the technology that we're utilizing to upgrade how we track criminals and their movement and their habits in and out of University City. And you'll see where those locations will be very shortly. Handheld fingerprint scanners. These are scanners that we can utilize while on the street to identify a person who does not want to be identified. Identify those criminals whether that's a parole or probation violation, and they know that if I give my correct information, I will be going to prison or else I'm going to have to fight with this officer to go back. Bait car. We have looked into a bait car. We're actually in talks with St. Louis County. The current bait car that was in this area is down, is out of commission, and it's literally too expensive to get repair it for that aspect. We've checked into a couple other options. There are some options of tracking by way of apps that we've researched and that we've been in talks with. Policing with technology. I personally got to see this technology the other day, and it's running right now. It says top out around 1,300. It comes out a little bit more than that, or 13,000. 15,000 is pretty much the going price on that. It's a robot that you are able to deploy into any type of building area, and it feeds back audio and video. I personally got to hear it and see it. Myself, we utilized it over at the police building just a couple weeks ago, and we're researching that to see if we can bring the cost down and invest in that as well. This is the gunshot detection devices, the company V5. That's why I put this on here, just so you can kind of see what this is. Nothing too intrusive, nothing too bulky. It's up high enough to where no one should be climbing a pole trying to get to it or anything of such. And it's a decent tool to put us into an area at a quicker pace. It's not going to it does not integrate with your camera system, saying that once something is detected, a camera snapshot is taken. That technology has not turned out to be worthwhile, and that's still something that they're trying to enhance as we speak. These are spots for our pilot program. As you see, these are six different locations. This is for the triangulation amongst those devices. This area right here is literally on a border or near our area of Vernita Park, Partridge, Pennsylvania, Canton, Purdue, those areas. And how we chose those areas is by way of our tracking, our stats of gunshots being reported. And that's one of the that is the highest area for say. And this is just a small, this is maybe a quarter of a mile basis. They have programs that build on a mile or 2 mile basis that we have, and they also have half a mile as well. But what we're doing is a pilot program. So all six of these devices will be gunshot devices. Two of these devices will be cameras, and one of these devices will be a stationary license plate reader as well. And this is a decent time frame for a pilot program. I think we got 60 to 90 days out of this pilot program to see how this technology works for us, works to integrate within our system in U-City. Policing with the technology. We currently have two drones stationed right at University City Police Department. We have the capabilities of using more drones than that because of our partnership with the fire department, as you know from last time. We're in the process of purchasing our third drone, and the drone is going to be, the capability of it has a spotlight on it for visibility in late night usage. So I actually have some footage of the Delmore Loop area that I'm going to share to Mr. Rose real soon, so I can show what type of photos we're getting from high up. You can't see these from the ground at all. And the drone detection is a good usage of the technology for University City, and it's something that we definitely need to dwell more into. Currently, we have two operators with our third and fourth being tested as we speak, trying to get them through the testing process, a very rigorous process of the FAA process. And I'm at the question section. Feel free to ask any questions.
Yes, thank you. Have a few items, but I'll
go ahead.
Begin with where Mayor Crow's question regarding drug offenses, certainly in the Third Ward, myself, Councilman Smotherson, hear a lot about activity on corners and in individual homes. And so can you talk a little bit about that activity, how it's documented, and I think most importantly, what the police department is doing to address it?
Okay. The one way I can tell you right now is not only with the cooperation of the County Drug Task Force, but also with that strike force team that I'm speaking of, to where we can go in directly. If we're not seeing where people are just hanging out on a corner. Right now we're doing mandatory call-outs in the last area that I think that was of concern, and literally there's no one out. There literally no, and that could be just because we're there, but we're also exploring putting cameras that I've showed you over in that area as well. But what I can tell you as far as how we document our involvement or dealings with any particular location, we love to tie any incident of significance to an address. Once we tie that to your address, then you become within that nuisance violation. Once we know that we're getting potential drug sales from your home. The last home that we recently did a drug bust with, that was county tactical team, that was our investigation, that was not the drug task force investigation, that was in the 6800 block of Crest. We actually had to make control buys within the home. And a control buy is whether that's an undercover officer or whether that's a confidential informant. I can tell you verbatim, we were able to successfully make some control buys out of that home. We were able to make some control buys out of the residence 7300 block of Olive, you know, and to where that was shut down, the same aspect. That was done with the county drug task force involvement. The biggest thing to look for is not just large hangouts or whatever the case is what is really, sometimes these could be dope addicts. These can be drug addicts. We don't want drug addicts hanging out neither. But understanding that if they live at that house and they're sitting on their porch, we have to take a very delicate approach on how we're approaching them and what we're doing to say why we're there, especially if we're not getting the calls. We first have to get those incident calls to say, okay, what's going on, whether it's loud talking, whether it's drinking in public, whether it's drug use in public, where there's peace disturbance in general. We have to get those calls to be documented. We don't need you to say that I want to be contacted. That's not of importance all the time. It's just putting us in the area for a reason, and on top of us being in the area proactively, but combating those issues. Right now, I have a mandate that we call out in that one block area, in a couple blocks area, and they're doing foot patrols up and down that street. That has combated any issues that we've had with the one particular home in that you know, I think that was of concern a while back of us. And I can still say the main tenant in that home is still incarcerated. He's not in the home. So you're talking about a mother and father that's just in that home right now.
Okay. I had a couple of other things.
Yes, sir.
Want to laud you and the city manager on the juvenile diversion program.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really important for our young people, to give them as many opportunities as we can. Obviously, certain behaviors, irrespective of age, we know have to be dealt with in a serious kind of way. But lower level offenses, I really laud you for putting that program in place. And would love to get, I'll talk to you offline, more information about that.
Can I add to that? I was approached by Juvenile Deputy Chief or Juvenile Chief Rick Gaines, and he said he saw the amount of numbers of juveniles that were coming, that were being referred from University City, that he wanted to make sure that we had all options. We're the first jurisdiction that has agreed to partner with the family courts in tracking and trying to do. We also, there is another diversion program. It's called the JCC, Juvenile Committee, something is the JCC, and we currently have members on that committee as well. This is one even lesser, because that is documented crimes that you first offense, maybe second offense, and you're not really doing juvenile time or juvenile detention. This one is more for infractions to stop down the down path going to that. So, yes, sir.
I do appreciate that. Quickly, the shot tracker, that goes – That piloting begins when?
That'll be, how soon is that, Captain? Next three to four weeks, we should have some of that in place. They've already been out.
Okay.
Captain Lemons has worked hard on that with them. Mm-hmm.
And my final question goes to some of the part one crimes, certainly the more dramatic ones, forgive me. The more significant ones. time. Forgive me.
More significant ones, can you talk a little bit about the nature of those crimes from the perspective of, you alluded to it, these persons being known to one another? So when we talk about the assaults, certainly in the situation, the homicides, are we finding that these are situations where these are persons known to each other, or these random stranger kind of encounters?
No, a lot of these are known assailants, known suspects, known dealings.
Parties are known to each other.
Yes. That's one way we're able to get a clearance on arrest. Even if a convenience store, all of a sudden there's a snatch and grab. Usually that suspect may have been in that store 10 times within the last month. And the clerk kind of knows, like, okay, I know who that is, but he just put a hoodie and a mask on this time. But I know it's the same jacket I've seen within a matter of minutes or so. So, yes, it is. It's not a lot of random action. That's what the routine policing habits are to deter, is to deter the particular opportunity for crime, so you say. And leaving that opportunity is when you get the random crime that occurs. Leaving that opportunity open is usually when you get the random crime that occurs.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
No.
Yes, sir.
Just one quick question. Sorry, it's just a quick question. Uh-huh. Will the body cameras and car cameras, will they be able to be turned off, or that won't be a capability?
That won't be a capability. There's no editing of anything of any sorts. That is an administrative wreck on those devices. That was part of the reason why we went with WatchGuard. WatchGuard and their troubleshooting, along with the capability of continuous loop, meaning that it's continually recording even when you're not thinking that an action is going on. And then it's just a matter of the download. So that's one reason we had to get our own server as opposed to the cloud base, because the cloud base was going to be got quite extensive if we did that.
Mr. Rose, anything else?
Nothing to add, Jeremy.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
A couple of things before we head up, since we've got a couple of minutes. I do hope that my colleagues will take a look at the report that was issued today, either in its entirety or the summary of the Better Together proposal. Needless to say, it is going to take some attention from a number of folks over the next year or so. The metro mayors are meeting tomorrow again. But just wanted to make sure that as far as communications go, if you have questions or concerns, please feel free to direct them to Gregory or to me or, frankly, the Municipal League. But I do think it's important for us to always dialogue with each other. We really haven't done that yet on this, and it's not on the agenda at all tonight, but we probably ought to at some point in time have that conversation so that we sort of know where we are and what some of the other communities are doing. By the way, pro and con. This is a conversation that's going to be truly taking on a life of its own over the next year or so. Ms. Carr.
Just so you know, I tried to download the entire report, and it's only for viewing, not for printing or downloading. I left a message asking the director to please make that available for downloading and printing. And there's several others of those reports, including some on the policing and some on the fire district that don't even exist. So they have a little bit of cleanup to do on their reports.
Mr. Clay.
And Mayor Crow, it may be too early to make this request, but is it possible to have representatives come and speak with us from Better Together?
I think that representatives from both Better Together and the Municipal League will be looking for every opportunity possible to have every speaking engagement. I think we probably ought to take a little bit of time on this and look at it ourselves before, you know.
Sure.
But absolutely, I think that those, I think there will be multiple opportunities for that. Absolutely.
Certainly not to lessen any of our other municipal colleagues, but, you know, we are the third largest municipality in the county. So the impact on us would be significant either way.
We agree. We have a few minutes before the opening of the session at 6:30. The agenda is set, so if everyone will just grab your microphones, we'll move forward into the public session.